Hey there, Admission Auto listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Cleo, why don't you start off by telling everyone where you went to college?
So I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies. What about you, Stephen? Why don't you tell us about the far inferior, far less interesting place where you went to college?
It was definitely less interesting, but if by less interesting you mean a lot less crime, yeah, that's it was less interesting. I mean, so safer, but safer can be boring. I actually went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory.
Right. And if by safer you mean safety school, I'll let that one
slide. Oh, snap. That was a good burn.
Oh, snap.
I will take it.
The past few episodes, we've covered some pretty heavy topics, from understanding financial aid to dealing with the sting of rejection. But this week, we're going to get away from all of that darkness and uncertainty and move into the light.
Praise the Lord. I mean, I'm hallelujah. I can't wait to do this episode. This is, it's exciting. We're finally going to do an episode that doesn't depress me or give me a headache. Wonderful. So that's right. We're going to talk about the most beautiful word in the application process, acceptance.
On either December 15th or April 1st, you will most likely be treated to some great news in the form of an admissions offer from one or more of the schools that you applied to.
So for early decision applicants, your choice has been made for you, but that's a good thing, right? Because this is the school that you really wanted to go to. For both early action and regular decision applicants, you've got until May 1st to decide where you'll ultimately go.
But how can you make the best choice? It seems like there are a million factors at play here, so is it even possible for anybody to decide which college is the right one? I mean, we're talking about the next 4 years of your life here.
Okay, all right, let's calm down, let's take a breath. You know, it's good decisions we're making. So on this episode, we'll take you through a few strategies for deciding where to go after you've received that wonderful acceptance news. And then at the end, we'll finish off today's podcast by sharing our own stories of acceptance, and we'll let you know how we made our ultimate decisions. So, first things first, here at Admission Auto, we have what we call the Admission Auto Manifesto, which is our philosophy, basically, when applying to college on how to choose where to go. And we sort of boil it down to go to the best place that you can get into. Now, what does that mean, Cleo?
Well, basically, you know, it's kind of straightforward. It means that you want to go to the best school that you can get into. And this is kind of counterintuitive for a lot of people, surprisingly, because there's so much focus on this idea of fit, you know, finding your soulmate college, the thing that is the perfect fit for you. And actually, that's kind of setting some pretty high expectations and might be kind of unrealistic when the most important thing to do here is go to a great school. So that's kind of the basic idea of it.
Yeah, this idea of fit that people obsess over. I mean, it's sort of a part of American society, right? We have, you know, 200 choices when we walk down the cereal aisle because the idea is that one is supposed to be perfect for you. And people think the same thing about college, that I've got to go. There's just one out there that's perfect for me, that fits who I am, that you know, and that's just not true. You know, and at the end of the day, fit is impossible to determine. And this is because, you know, you can't determine whether a place is, you know, the true magical fit unless you really spend a significant amount of time there. And that's why, you know, obsessing about fit, you know, in the process is really, can really be, you know, counterproductive.
Right. And ultimately, it kind of just comes down to a gut decision, which place feels better to you. And while that's important, obviously you want to feel comfortable at the school that you're going to attend, you have to think about it in the practical sense of which school will give me the best education and be best for my future.
Yeah, and that's a really important point. Like, which will provide me with, you know, the education that suits my interests and needs, and which place will be, you know, a strong force in my future career. And so here's the two big reasons that you can't go wrong with picking a better school, meaning like when we're talking about like the top tier colleges and universities. The first reason is that you're going to get an amazing education, period. At any of these top places, that's just how it is. If you apply yourself, if you work hard, you can get a great education. And then the second reason, and I sort of hinted at this already, is that whether you like it or not, you know, name and reputation matter in the future. So, you know, you hear students who say things like, okay, you know, I was accepted by Cornell, but Oshkosh College in Wisconsin is offering me a full merit scholarship. You know, the decision there for me is a no-brainer because Cornell is going to provide a better education and their name and reputation is going to carry a lot of weight in the future. The thing, you know, that when people reduce it to those kind of terms, when they say, you know, oh, these lesser colleges are trying to make it more appealing for me, the metaphor that I sort of draw upon is I ask them, okay, so would you rather, you know, work hard and pay for a vacation to go to Hawaii or some destination that you love? Or would you like to go on an all expenses paid trip to the middle of the desert? I mean, which sounds more appealing to you?
Right. So, you know, there are obviously some factors at play here that you do want to think about, like the size of the school, the location of the school, the strength of the programs that you're interested in, et cetera. But ultimately, when you're thinking about just, you know, which is a better school, you really want to try to go with the superior one.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that I hear from parents a lot is, you know, even when deciding between like superior schools, like a place like Harvard or Yale, which has a sizable undergraduate population, you know, I'll often hear parents say something like, well, you know, my son or daughter, they wouldn't do well at a bigger school like that, or even a much bigger school like a, you know, UC Berkeley or University of Michigan, because, you know, my kid needs more attention and they're really not going to fit at a big school. And I mean, that's just usually, you know, not the case. A lot of these big universities, like the whole point is that, you know, you can go and have this large community and have many options, and then you know, find your niche and then you have room to grow. So, I try to steer kids away from making decisions based on those sort of outward, those outward qualities that really don't have much to do like with the school itself. Like, oh, is it a big school? Is it a small school? How much attention am I going to get? Things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's, you know, the fact that, you know, Harvard and Yale have big undergraduate, have, you know, medium size, I'd say, undergraduate populations, but they clearly provide superior education to each member of each class. I mean, they're obviously doing something right there. So.
Right. And one other kind of side note that I want to say is try not to let other irrelevant factors that influenced how you may have felt at the school, about the school, influence your actual decision. You know, this is like a classic thing, but sometimes if you go on a tour of the school and there's terrible weather and it's raining and you're just in a bad mood, or maybe you have a really cute tour guide, or you have a fight with your mom in the parking lot, you know, behind the admissions office, these things can influence our opinion about the school on the day, but really try to, you know, have an unbiased approach here when you're talking about the schools as, you know, potential universities for you to attend. Try to get those irrelevant factors out of your mind and approach them all with like a, you know, a pretty blank slate.
Yeah, I'd say that's a great point. Don't be influenced by those sort of, as Cleo called them, irrelevant and kind of random factors, you know, things that could just happen on, you know, the day that you visit or whatever. And also don't be influenced by others' idea of like where you fit best or where, you know, you would do best when making your decision. Don't let that influence you. Just our, you know, company line is go to the best school that you can get into, period. I mean, if you get into MIT, but also, you know, get into University of Florida, go to MIT. It's a better school. You know, we'll get into, we'll talk in a little bit about the only time that, you know, you can start thinking about fit. But just, you know, for the most part, just go to the best schools you can get into. That's the overall advice.
Right. And one last thing, we're going to get into this more when we talk about deciding and weighing your options. But if you're confused, you can try to talk to real students and real professors at the school. If you ask the admissions office, once they've accepted you, they will most likely hook you up with some information because they want you to come. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. And now we're going to move on to our next topic, which is talking about weighing different financial offers. So obviously, this is something that can influence your admissions decision. But basically, you want to, you know, still really try to aim for that same goal of going to the best school that you can get into.
Yeah, I mean, and when you're talking about the, you know, so if you're a competitive applicant and you get into these top tier schools, we talked about in last episode that many of these schools, you know, have need blind admissions and do a really good job. You know, the thing is that there seems to be a direct correlation between the prestige of a school usually and how generous their financial aid offers are. So for the most part, if you know, you're in need of financial aid, most of the these top tier schools are going to do, you know, an amazing job in taking care of you. So that shouldn't be a concern. But that being said, you know, I just want to point out that there's a big difference when you're weighing financial offers, if you actually need financial aid or if you're just looking for some money like merit-based scholarships to sort of soften the cost. And the point that I want to make here is that the only time that financial offers should come into play at all whatsoever is only if you truly need the money. So if you're, like I said before, if you're getting offered a full merit-based scholarship to you know, Oshkosh College, but I feel like we're also going to get some angry letters from Oshkosh College.
Is that a real place?
No, there's the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, so I sort of made Oshkosh College up, but it might
exist. Just call it Bagosh, Oshkosh Bagosh College.
It might exist and they might, you know, they might just, you know, sue us or something like that. But anyway, but if you can afford, and if you get accepted to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, whatever, and you can afford it, but you know, that other tiny school is offering you a full ride, still, you know, go to the better school. A financial offer shouldn't mean anything to you in this situation because you should be just concerned about going to the better school.
Right. And that's a good point. And if you're, you know, if we're talking about actual financial need, and it's not just a merit scholarship situation, you can always try letting these schools know if other schools are giving you more generous offers. We've mentioned this before, but it really never hurts to let them know. Maybe it will even get their competitive energies going and they'll, you know, start trying to outbid each other to get you to come to their school, and you can just sit back and watch because you've done the hard work of applying and being accepted, and now, you know, they should be able to try to provide for you if you need it. So you can always try to let them know.
Yeah, and a lot of schools will be, you know, accommodating in that sense. So that's definitely a good, I would say that's like option number one if you're weighing the financial offers. But like, you know, let me quickly pose a hypothetical scenario. One of the schools that we talked about last week that got rid of need-blind admissions was Wesleyan. They just, you know, realized they don't have enough money to go around to everybody who needs financial aid. Okay, so let's say you get accepted into Wesleyan and they're not offering you a generous financial aid package, and you also get accepted by Oshkosh Bagosh College and they're offering you a full ride. What should you do? Well, the first thing Cleo said is try to maybe leverage the one's offer against the other. But the second option is, you know, consider the reality of the cost of attending, you know, the school that's not giving you a generous financial aid package like Wesleyan. So think, how much did you receive in grants? How much in loans? You know, when's the interest rates for those loans going to kick in, during college or after? And just the point is, if there's any possible way you can make it work, you know, financially, you should go for it and try to make it work.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that that's sometimes a hard thing to think about logically, but most kids are going to be in debt after college. And so that's just kind of a given a lot of the time. But if it's a school that people know more about, it's a stronger program, it's just a better school all around, your future career prospects will be brighter and you'll have more options later on, and it'll just end up helping you in the long run.
Yeah, so I think the final point here is that, you know, we'll still stick by our guns and say you should go to the, you know, the best school you can get into. The only way, you know, and that you shouldn't is if it's really financially impossible. If there's financially no possible way that you can, you know, make it with loans, with grants, with anything like that, that's the only reason that you don't go. But, you know, like I said, this is pretty much almost never the case with the top tier, I'd say like the top 20, 25 schools in the U.S. Because, like I said, prestige and generosity often have a direct relationship. These better schools have larger endowments, which leads to more financial aid.
Absolutely. So now we're going to move on to our next topic, which is talking about the only time when fit really matters.
Yeah, so this is you know, we've already harped on the point, don't worry about fit, but here's the time that you can worry about fit. When you are lucky enough to be accepted into two or more equally great schools, then you can start worrying about fit.
Right, and this is where, you know, this is where it gets kind of fun. You can think about the overall vibe of the school. Do the students seem to value the things that you value? Do they have the sorts of programs, you know, both academically and otherwise, that you care about and that you want to get involved with? You can think about the location. Spend time in the towns or the cities. See how you feel there. That's always a helpful thing to actually think about, you know, how happy you might be in that environment.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that you should do in this situation it is to really just talk to current students. I mean, you have to be aware and be able to distinguish between, you know, the agents of promotion from the school, you know, those who promote it because it's their job, like they work in the admissions office or they're a tour guide for the school, and those who can really give you an honest appraisal of the school. And, you know, in my experience, when I was making my own decision, which we'll get to those in a minute, the best resource far and away are current students. They'll tell you the good, the bad, the ugly. They'll tell you what they like, what they don't like, what's great, what's not great. And that's the best way to really get an honest opinion is to, you know, talk to the people who are going through it right at that moment.
Absolutely. But in the end, you have to remember that it is up to you and you have to trust your gut. Because one specific story is that I know when I was looking at schools after I'd been accepted, I knew that I wanted to go to Yale. I was so excited about it. I knew that it was the perfect place for me. But I felt like I had to do the logical thing and I had to talk to everybody. And I got to the campus and I was walking around with my mom, and the first girl that we saw, we ran up to her. We were like really far off campus, so I think she was a med student, but we ran up to her and we were just like, how do you like Yale? And she looked up and burst into tears. Yeah. And was like, it's so hard. I'm not special anymore. I used to feel so smart, and now I just can't handle it. And it was such an upsetting moment because it was like dashing all of my hopes and fears about this dream school. But ultimately, you know, I talked to more students, and a lot of people were perfectly happy there, and I just had to trust my gut that that was not going to be what my experience was like, and it was ultimately up to me, and you know, if it felt like the right fit, then it would be a wonderful choice.
Yeah, I mean, emotions just generally run high at Yale anyway. There's a lot of crying and, you know, hugging and whatever on campus. It's all just, everybody's an emotional wreck there. I mean, that's just what I hear. I mean,
right, of course. So I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good point. And yeah, you know, think about the things that actually, you know, influence your decision, like academic and extracurricular offerings, especially, you know, one that I want to point out is especially consider like this, their secondary offerings, because chances are whatever you're interested in when you're enrolling in college, like I thought I was pretty positive I was going to be an English major, even though I ended up majoring in film, you know, things can and will change. So think, you know, when you're thinking about two equally good schools, like, okay, does this school have, you know, the program that I'm interested in, say it's economics, but do they also have good opportunities if I jump ship and decide I want to study, you know, history, or I wanted to study, you know, East Asian cultures. You know, so think about those things. Think about that in terms of academics and extracurriculars too. Like, does this school have, you know, opportunities not only for my main interests, but for my peripheral interests as well? And, you know, the opportunities can vary between these top schools. So that's, you know, an important thing to consider.
Absolutely. And obviously the best thing that you can do is go and visit these places and really talk to people, you know, in the flesh. But if that's not possible, there are lots of resources at your disposal virtually. You know, you can call the admissions office and ask to be connected to someone via Skype, or, you know, to take a virtual tour of a dorm room or things like that. There's a lot of information out there on these like admitted student websites and portals and things like that. So really, you want to give yourself some time to explore all of this.
Yeah. And, you know, thanks to the internet, that's, you can make all these connections without visiting schools. My one piece of advice is just to be definitely, like, take things with a grain of salt. I know, after I had been accepted to Harvard and was connecting with students in the pre-Facebook days, you know, there were definitely some students who stood out because they were making their voices heard and they were incredibly annoying. But yeah, there's plenty of others that you can chat with. And, you know, that's another thing. If you visit the school, or even if you don't, connecting with potential students is important too. It's like, hey, you know, do these students seem like, you know, they're more interesting to me, or like I would have a better 4 years of college being surrounded by these students or those students? I mean, look, that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing to say, but it's another thing you should consider as well.
Right. Absolutely. And at that point, it's really, you know, gather all of the information that you can, give yourself some time to let it all sink in. Maybe tell yourself, like, I'm going to go to Wesleyan, and then give yourself a minute and see how that feels. You know, tell yourself, I'm going to go to UCLA, and think about it and see how it feels. But ultimately, when you're deciding between two great schools or more, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the decision shouldn't stress you out too much, because, you know, if you're deciding between two great schools, that wherever you'll go, you'll have a great education and a meaningful experience if you apply yourself, you know? So this time after you're accepted, this month from April 1st to May 1st, you know, make it count. You know, utilize as many resources as you can into you know, figuring out which school is right for you if you're deciding between two or more equally good ones. And my final point here is, in this scenario, really don't ever, ever complain, because, you know, most students would love to be in your shoes making a difficult choice between two great schools. And you've got to put it in perspective. In the scope of decisions in life, I mean, this is not like a Sophie's Choice decision. This is like, you know, deciding between two great, you know, what great sports car you're going to drive today, or whether or not you're going to have caviar or lobster for dinner. I mean, this is a good decision. So treat it as such, take it seriously, and just, yeah, don't complain, because people around you will start to hate you.
Right. Absolutely. And if you do have some of these schools offer like admitted students weekends and things like that, give yourself a chance to go to those things. When I was in high school, I thought like, "Ooh, I have AP exams coming up. I can't take the time off to go do those weekends." So I did like a special trip with my mom earlier on, which was great, and I got a lot of information from it. But this is a great decision, like Stephen said. It might be a tough choice, but it's a wonderful one, and treat it like that, and indulge in it a little bit. And you've worked really hard at this point, explore it and give yourself some real time to devote to it.
Yeah, those pre-freshman weekends are crucial, in my opinion. It's a good segue into talking about our next topic, which is our stories of acceptance, because you'll see in my story that those pre-freshman weekends play a huge role. But first, Cleo, let's talk about your stories of acceptance. Take us from the beginning and paint the picture for us, if you will, of that wonderful moment of acceptance.
Oh, wow. Okay. So as you may know, if you've listened to some other podcasts, I applied to many, many schools. I think it was 17. And I was a nervous wreck by the time that April 1st rolled around. Also, it was April Fool's Day, obviously, so I had this weird feeling that like maybe a school would play a joke on me.
That would be such a horrible joke, but yeah,
I know,
it would be
but
an epic joke nonetheless. Yeah.
I remember that when I checked, all of my things were available online, or at least like some of the major ones. So I checked on the Yale's admissions site, and I clicked on it to find out, and a bulldog started barking in my face, and I was like, ah! And I was so scared, and it meant that I was accepted, but I felt like it was a joke. So I had this awful moment where I was like, oh my God. But I ended up checking all of the schools and having this like incredible moment of relief and just feeling like it had finally paid off. And I ran outside and just collapsed on the grass in my backyard, and my mom like threw big admissions acceptance envelopes at me, and I just like lay there on the floor basking in it, and it was a pretty fantastic feeling.
Yeah, that must have felt pretty good having just like being smacked in the face with a few acceptance letters. That's a
It was. And I remember that one of the videos, it was for Harvard actually, they had this admission video, Welcome to Harvard, and it made my mom cry, and that was such a proud moment. I just felt like I have really done something significant here, and this is great.
Yeah, that's really nice. So then what was your next step? Where did you go? So you've had this great admissions moment of euphoria, then, what's the next step in your decision-making process?
Well, I went to visit all of the schools, like I mentioned. I think this was around spring break, so I took a week and went to the East Coast with my mom, and we did our own private tour, now knowing, where I had been accepted. And like I said, I kind of always I looked at the main options again and tried to consider them seriously, but I had a strong feeling that I wanted to go to Yale. But I had this panic attack, really the only time I've had one in my life, standing outside the Yale admissions office when I felt sick, and I suddenly felt like it had been a mistake and they had mailed me the letter, incorrectly, and I was going to walk in there and humiliate myself. So it turned out that that was not the case, and I don't know, I was being crazy. But at that point, once I knew I had actually gotten in and it was not fake, so at that point, I really just had to make a decision, and I was having a really hard time with it. So my best friend from school just kind of invented this game to get me out of my head and make me make some snap judgments and see what felt like the best fit. And she kind of just sat there with me and gave me two options very quickly, and I had to just shout one out, whichever one was better. So it was like, what's better, cats or dogs? And I said, cats. And what's better, soccer or football? Soccer. And then she said, Harvard or Yale? And I just said, Yale. And I knew that that was always what I had wanted. I just hadn't really admitted it.
Cool. Yeah. So she was doing you a favor. She was trying to get to the heart of the matter, get to, how you really felt deep down. And that's a great thing. And so, were there any other factors that came into play that influenced your decision, or by that moment you were like, yep, Yale's pretty much right for me?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I knew, but I had to consider the other ones carefully because that was the right thing to do. So I did. I looked, you know, I did some more research, and like I said, I visited the schools, and some of them felt a lot better, and I got, you know, more convincing reasons from the students when I walked around and asked them why they chose their school. So I was just kind of gathering information to confirm the feeling that I already had.
Cool. Good call. And so where would you say during that month between April 1st and May 1st, about when would you say you had that decision, you know, about what date was it like, yep, here's when I'm going to send in that letter to Yale?
I think I sent it in a few days before the deadline because that's just me. I always deliberate up until the last second.
No, but, it's good. You have that time, then take it.
Yeah, I definitely took it. I'd say I probably knew what I wanted after about a week, but then I just really tried to weigh every possibility, make some pro-con lists, and then just, you know, make sure. I did that trying it on for size thing where I said, okay, I'm going to go to Yale, and then waited to see if I burst into tears or something. And I didn't. It felt really good. So I decided that was it.
Cool.
What about you? How did it happen for you?
So I applied early action to Harvard. It was pretty much, I you know, even though I knew both were a long shot, I pretty much knew that Harvard or Princeton would be sort of ideal, amazing schools for me. I never expected to get into either one. And I was actually in the fall of 2001, I was, you know, this makes me seem very old and ancient, but I was the first, you know, group of applicants ever to be notified by email of an admissions decision.
And wow.
Yeah, so that was back in the days, you know, my email was on CompuServe, which is like, you know, dial up internet. And so it was December 15th of 2001. I was, you know, I didn't have a cell phone or anything like that. And I would just go in between classes, check my email in the library, you know, didn't find anything. And then I was waiting, you know, for a bus after school to go to a swim meet, and one of my friends just said, "Hey, you know, do you want to use my phone? Maybe call your dad, ask if he could check your email or something like that." And so I said, "Okay." I called him, and he said, you know, he pulled up my CompuServe, and there really wasn't anything in the inbox. And then all of a sudden, I hear him go, "Oh, like that." And so at that exact moment, the email came in, and I just hear silence on his end. And my whole worry, you know, was that I was going to get rejected and, you know, not even deferred. And that would be upsetting. And so what my dad had said was, you know, he was going to read the email quickly before. And if I were deferred or rejected, he would just say no email came, and then wait till I was home and, you know, didn't have to have like a 4-hour swim meet ahead of me so that I could, you know, be around family when dealing with, you know, the upsetting, but, you know, the statistically more reasonable option.
Of course.
But so I hear him go, "Oh," and there's this silence. And then he's like, silence for 10 seconds. He goes, you got in, like that. And I was just like, what? And I didn't sort of believe him. I made him read me the email. He read me the email. He's like, "Yeah, this is for real. You got in." And I was just like, wow. So the first thing I did was I gave my friend back her phone. I gave her a huge hug, said, "Thanks for letting me use that. I got in." She was like, yeah, she was excited. And so there was still a few minutes before the bus came, and I went back inside to find one of my teachers who had been my favorite teacher, had written my recommendation. She had left for the day. And then I ran into my principal, who was, I was president of the student government, so I worked with him a lot. And he was this 4'10" excitable guy. And I told him I got in, and in one of the most obnoxious moves I've ever seen, he went to the school intercom, and, you know, I went to a school about over 1,000 people, and announced and started screaming, "Stephen Black got into Harvard. Thankfully, the only good thing about that was the entire school was in a pep rally in the gym, so nobody heard it. And so That's it was amazing. Just like, yeah, I was just like, thank God nobody heard that. So yeah, that was, you know, December 15th, that's when I got accepted. And then, yeah, I had 9 other applications ready to go, and I only sent in Princeton and Yale because I said those were the only other 2 that I would consider going to above Harvard.
That's a pretty amazing story.
Yeah.
Oh, and so, God.
And so, yeah, so what happened, I mean, April 1st comes around, I got rejected from Yale because obviously they don't know true greatness when they see it, of course. But no, look, I take that. I was rejected. I wasn't right for them, and that was fair. But then I also got accepted by Princeton. So I was thinking, you know, I remember having this moment where, you know, my older brother was home from college, and I was standing in the kitchen of my house, and I was freaking out because I was saying, you know, whichever, if I pick Harvard or if I pick Princeton, my life is going to be completely different. Like, it's like, this is like, you know, this is like, you know, the Robert Frost poem, like, you know, two roads diverged
in yellow wood.
And I was just like, and I was so convinced that if I pick one or if I pick the other, like, I could pick one and my life's going to be awesome, and I could pick the other and my life's going to be terrible. And my brother was
right,
just like,
which is kind of insane.
It's insane. It's dramatic. And, you know, this is why I brought up the point before, don't complain about these decisions because they're great decisions. So my brother really talked sense into me and was like, look, you know, you're going to get a great education either way you go. You really can't make a wrong decision here. And, you know, so stop being a baby about it. And he was right. And so, but the big thing for me that helped my decision, you know, in making this decision, like, first of all, financial aid wasn't a concern because both schools were offering me incredibly generous grant packages along with loans. Right. And so that was, you know, that was fine. It was not a consideration. But the big thing that changed things for me is, you know, Cleo had said she had wished she had gone to some of those pre-freshman weekends. And you know, that was what cemented the decision for me. My experience at Harvard was just, you know, connecting with the students and everything like that. It felt right. It felt like it was a place that, you know, sort of had, more outlets for my interests. And the Princeton weekend, you know, it just didn't have that feel for me. It was good. There were some great things about it. There was also some, you know, random kind of things that happened that were terrible. Like, they didn't correctly assign me to somebody, and I ended up getting assigned to, you know, this kid who was just, he ended up being my host, and he was just, I mean, the one of the meanest kids I've ever met in my life. And yeah. And so it was just, you know, I didn't let that factor into my decision too much, but it was just like, everything about the Harvard weekend made sense to me. So I would say after that Harvard weekend was over, there's, you know, probably about a week left until the decision was to be made. And so that's when I, you know, mailed in my ultimate decision, because yeah, you know, and I ultimately knew, look, I can't go wrong here. It's, you know, either one's going to be good. And so, you know, I went with the one that felt, you know, a little bit better to me, felt more right.
Okay, so today we've been talking about acceptance, and just to give you a brief overview, we've spoken about, 1, the Admission Auto Manifesto, go to the best school you can get into, 2, the idea that fit is pretty much impossible to determine, 3, weighing financial offers, still you want to go to the best school you can get into unless it's financially impossible. And 4, the only time that fit really matters, which is when you're deciding between 2 or more equally great schools.
All right, so let's bask in this wonderful scenario. You've been accepted to a great college or university, and you happily let them know of your intentions to enroll in the fall. Awesome. But one thing you might not have realized is that going to college is a major life change. So next week, we'll chat about this transition and how you can best prepare yourself for it.
We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.